Welcome to Apple Pie Playground, where we serve up slices of healing for the heart. Stay tuned for a journey of transformation back to the divine inner child. Can you come out and play today?
Welcome, everybody, to Apple Pie Playground. I'm your host, Valerie, and I am so, so happy we're here together today. And thank you, BBS, for being here with us. Best programming on the planet. We're so grateful for you, and we love you, BBS. We are in big, big energies, everybody. Do you feel it? Big energies. I mean, everything from headaches to getting sick and stomach upset and lots of dreams and lots of energy flowing. Do we feel it in our bodies? We might be feeling it physically or emotionally or psychically. Big, big, big energies. This is sort of our gift of growth, though, when we think about it. The work of our souls and our source moving us along our evolution, right? And we do our part, too, and not just for ourselves, but because our strength is this beautiful energy we emit out into our world in a shared field of consciousness building. Right? We are a gift to others who are around our energies. And just as we can feel the celestial energies coming to us from our cosmos, we too play a part in that beautiful exchange of energy with folks around us every single day. You are a gift to humanity. And you want to remember that. We are energies of Christ consciousness, shifting reality. Okay? Every time we step into balance and conscious awareness and gratitude, you become an anchor, right? Something like a pillar of light grounded in the earth, with a flow that is connecting to the unified field of source energy, with portal energies allowing source to come through and shine brilliance on us and our intentions for humanity. Friends, you are the light overcoming darkness. Know the truth in that, friends. Now, I get it. Some of you can't quite believe it, because maybe your morning was really sucky this morning. And, you know, maybe life is a little chaotic right now. Or maybe you're hurting a little bit and you don't know why. Or maybe you're finding yourself feeling separated from God and it stirs your heart to want more. You know, more answers, more knowing. I get it. Well, to each and every one of us, I say, take heart. This is our spirit at work aligning us, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly. This is our celestial energies ridding us of extra baggage. And in the end, we're going to be super grateful for that. You know, so we can bear the powers of Christos energies. That's our goal here. We are working our bodies toward an engagement with what is coming to us celestially, and that is Christos energies combined with what is here in our environment. So take heart, trust the growth process of our spirits. We could all use a little more trust, and I'm talking about myself too. It's something of a sacred commodity, right? It's hard on discernment, and I get it. Let's just agree to keep showing up for the good work that we're doing, right? So today I'm going to ask for a little guidance in my message. especially since we're coming into Easter season. And it's a time of great emotional turmoil, actually, for much of humanity. It's a time poorly recounted in history, with a great truth hidden within a great many more deceptions, when we think about it. But we're not going to focus on what might separate us as we talk together today. Let's focus on what we can all agree on together. That's a much better conversation, don't you think? And we'll be guided by what we discover in a message of good news today. And we're gonna ask for guidance in this message so that we're all receiving what we need to hear, and it's a beautiful benefit to us and our spirits. Fun fact, I want to share a fun fact as we start. Did you know that there are theoretically, only about 6 degrees of separation between each of us and everyone else on the planet? Did you know that? 6 degrees of separation. Well, what does that mean? And I had to look it up, but I was fascinated. I had to look it up. It's the theory that any two people on Earth are connected by a chain of relationships no more than six connections apart. And isn't that fascinating? And the idea is there are human connectors along those chains of relationships that pull cultures and communities closer together. Did we know that? And so the idea is our words and deeds and relationships can impact people far away that we don't even know. Right? How about that? The idea was created by a psychologist who called it the six handshakes rule. Okay? And I'm quoting here when I say that the concept originated from a 1929 short story. Okay. It became the focus of research by Stanley Milgram in the 1960s, called the Small World Experiments. And he did experiments in which he found that social networks are actually much more incredibly dense than we think. And so he got this idea from a playwright, a Hungarian playwright, Frigyes Kerinthy, who actually introduced the idea in his work in a piece he called Chains, right? And it gained attention of the research community because folks were so fascinated at the time about what this story had to say about human relations. So it was fascinating the fact that research came out of what was essentially an extraordinary piece of literature. Now, the small world experiments have had something of a hard time being seen as reputable, right? But there have been modern experiments that actually use social media communication and research that actually do support the findings of these, small world research efforts in the 1930s. And I'm quoting here, studies on email and social media have largely supported the phenomenon. A 2003 email study found a median chain length of 5 to 7 steps between people aligning with the 6 degrees theory, right? Now, keep in mind the numbers here, 5 to 7, 5 to 7 degrees of separation through emails and social media. Keep those numbers 5 to 7 in mind because I have a fascinating thing that I want to share with you a little later that has something kind of interesting to do with that range of numbers. Okay. So the fascinating thing about 6 degrees of separation is the way science qualified it as, well, it's what we know as the butterfly effect. And we've talked about this, where small actions in one place could cause large disturbances somewhere far, far away. You remember that? And we've talked about this, that quantum mechanics actually describes a different scenario from the butterfly effect. But the idea is significant, right? Because 6 degrees of separation in quantum terms means that we all hold knowledge that, when shared, is compounded and refined every time it's shared. Right? Now, in traditional science, the butterfly effect meant that a small event observed from far away could cause something of a storm of effects in a place completely different, completely far away, right? But in our understanding of the quantum reality, it's a little different. Each of us acts as a buffer or a barrier to disruption, right? As part of a unified field of consciousness, so that events flow through our energies in a way that allows us to buffer the disruption. Does that make sense? And realign the energies passing through. Does that make sense, friends? If, and that's the operative word here, if we're consciously aware enough to do that, because that's something we are doing energetically, right? It's something we're doing. But here's the thing about parts of humanity who aren't consciously aware, okay? Consider what we just talked about with parts of humanity not consciously aware of the way that they're throwing energy around, right? For those of us unawake and unaware, we don't contribute to the buffer, right? We don't hold the memory of events being exchanged and the information being exchanged. We don't integrate and realign reality with better intentions. We don't do any of that, right? Do we see now why it's something of a push to get us integrated spirit into body so that we are beginning to awaken to that, so that we can become consciously aware of how we're moving our energy around? Do we see how that's important for each and every one of us? So when we see crazy things on the news, right? Like maybe, for example, mass looting in neighborhoods. We've seen a lot of that over the years. Or we see the fallout from mass shootings, or we witness the chaos of election fraud or wars abroad somewhere, right? Some of us are prepared to integrate and realign those experiences with better intentions, while some of us are just caught in the chaos. Do we see that? And some of us fall into that chaos and that agitation and that fear, and we know the damage done by groups of humans who can't use their energies to reform reality, right? Into a greater good. Now, we want to be gentle with every single person. We all have our limitations, and some days are better than others, and we know that. So we want to hold compassion for each and every person. We will get there, friends, and we're going to help each other get there. And so we just like to be aware of the nature of our energy flow and what contributes and what might detract. And so it's a good conversation to help us understand the value of this waking process and, why do folks need to awaken? I mean, why is that a central conversation? Well, because it means that we are consciously aware of how we're moving our energy. And that, of course, is the name of the whole game. That's the whole entire game of conscious awareness, isn't it? Right? And so, it's what I mean in part when I say that many of us are anchors to this earth. When we get to a point where we understand energy and energy flow and what we are doing with our energy and how it is moving out and through and around, and we can begin then to manage the energy flow and to create intentions with this energy. And then we do this extraordinary thing. We begin to anchor this energy. Right? We begin to anchor this energy. And when we do what our unawakened family or friends or neighbors can't quite do yet. We are buffering the harmony of our unified consciousness, and we're alchemizing the energies for a better outcome. So, what do I mean by alchemize? What does that mean? I mean, we're a spirit, we're a body, what? We've got blood and fluids running through, muscle mass and bones. What do you mean by alchemizing a body? Well, we're moving energy through the body electromagnetically, right? We're bioelectric, right? We got chemical things going on there. We're electromagnetic. We're buzzing, right? We're buzzing. What can we say? And that energy is shared with others. We can't help it, right? So unify it and electrify it with intention. That's our goal. That creates our reality. And this is co-creation energies at work, right? It's Christos energies at work. It's you at work, right? Do we understand? Every time we can remain calm instead of allow fear to come in, right, to a situation, every time we can choose to respond to something instead of react to it, right, every time we focus on what we prefer instead of things that we don't prefer. Energy is at work, right? Every time we can sit and get quiet and allow ourselves to redirect the energies coming our way into things like peace and love and balance and allow those energies to flow more freely, we are realigning our shared field of source consciousness. We talk about it all the time. I can't help it. It bears repeating, doesn't it? It is becoming our language, isn't it? It is the language that we share on Sunday afternoons. We are realigning our shared field of source consciousness, right? We're keeping source energies flowing in our bodies and across our realm, right? Our reality. And we're moving those energies through 6 degrees of separation of relationships so that it flows through humanity. That's the message here. That's the extraordinary, super fun message. Our energy work doesn't just belong to what's inside of us. It is moving through 6 degrees of separation. It is moving through layers and levels and communities and cultures of people, right? That we come into contact every single day, right? In this shared field that we are creating together. Does it make sense, friends? So, Christ had many jobs in his mission. We don't know about most of them, many that were celestial in nature, but his heart was with humanity. His heart was with humanity. It still is, friends. And not only Christ, but those with Christ who nurtured him and believed in him and followed him and gave him private counsel that was so critical to his well-being and to his process. Those folks who bore great agony in his name, Right? It took them all, okay, unified and aligned to do the work of liberating this realm in as much as they could, which is happening even now. We are continuing this great journey. Okay, make no mistake. We are continuing this good work that is unfolding before us right now in this current day and age, folks. And part of that job, and maybe the most important part, was leaving a legacy of good work. And we know that Christ was an extraordinary teacher, because he had to be. He had to be able to communicate what was essentially complex ideas to folks not prepared to hear them. And he had to do it in the most simple terms possible. And he didn't have a lot of time. And he had to figure it out, you know, on the ground. As he went, he had to figure it out. And he needed to teach in a way that would stand the test of time. Teachings that would withstand the dark agenda, who would do everything to eradicate them, who would do and are still doing everything to eradicate them. And much was undermined, friends. Much was undermined. At the end of the biblical story that we know, there was much chaos, much pain, unexpected indignation. I think it was hard to understand at that point who all the players even were lining up against Christ, on world and off world, right? And I won't say any more about that, because I don't want to close doors for folks who may not have a reference point for that. And so, you know, we'll just let that sit there, and we can meditate on it if we have the background for that. And if we don't, it's okay. And so it was pretty hard to know the game by the end for Christ. It was pretty rough to know the players, even though, you know, some of them were obvious. And if anybody had the intel, it of course was Christ. The chaos didn't help. And it was hard to know the game by the end, because everybody wanted in on it. Everybody wanted in on it. And it's kind of interesting how folks like to talk about Trump's 5D chess, right? Trump's 5D chess. And I think that's fascinating, because essentially that really is what is going on when we talk about interdimensional kinds of things going on, or dispute, or disruption, or what have you. I think it's a game much better understood now than it was then. Much better understood now than it was then, because of the resources and the folks at work and the dedication, and we're in a much better position, and we're also grateful, I'm sure, that we are in a better place. No doubt it's been hard, and of course we as bystanders don't quite understand much of the process, but we will. We will understand, friends. We'll understand clearly one day. We'll look back and everything will be revealed, and we'll know what a magnificent, beautiful rescue it truly was for us, and in our name and in the name of humanity. So the events of the biblical crucifixion, and I that's why I sort of asked for guidance, because I truly just don't even like to use that word. But this biblical story, right, the events of this biblical story and its ending were really the result of galactic proportions. I mean, it was an expansive effort to get rid of Christ's teachings. It was all in. It was all in throwdown. It was all in throwdown by the time that Christ had to deal with the end of that story. We're talking about celestial disturbances, right? From every corner, pretty much. As much as human ones, right? Lots of human disturbances as well. Lots of human narrative that goes along with that story of the crucifixion. And, you know, one day we will have all the truth of that. We don't have it now. We just don't have that kind of information right now, but it's okay. It's okay. The point is that you are Christ's purpose. You are Christ's purpose. Do you understand that? Do you understand the beautiful nature of what I just said? Okay. We may wake up feeling alone. We may wake up feeling confused. Maybe we are trying to survive. Maybe we are scared, or we're sad, or we're lonely. And those things are in our wake as we work on our spiritual development. And we will see progress in those things. We will find comfort in our progress, friends, especially when we realize that everything that has been done for you. You are Christ's purpose, right? His good work. And each one of us who understands the nature of shared suffering, and we'll talk about that, what shared suffering is, the kind that creates empathy and compassion needed as we anchor into these bodies, right? We all need to afford each other the empathy and the compassion, and that comes from the passion of Christ. We'll talk about that, this idea of shared suffering and just the vital importance of empathy and compassion as we go through this evolutionary process. It's important as we anchor into our bodies, the spirit, and as we grow our capacity to use our energies and understand our energies. And those who are clear-minded and heart-centered will keep the teachings and share the energies created by those teachings. That is a goal. The teachings of Christ are teachings at the core of our capacity to live in our duality, in our polarity, which we are evolving out of. We are evolving into a better way. But for now, we all have to get there. We all have to move into progress, right? We all have to awaken. And those of us who have a growing capacity within us, right? We are heart-centered enough to begin to work with these teachings and understand the truth of these teachings and share the energies created by these teachings, they are going to begin to express themselves. The knowing behind these teachings and what you have gained will express themselves through this flow, this 6 degrees of human separation. As we integrate what we're learning and what we are knowing and the truth of the teachings of Christ, and as we are learning to be Christ's ourselves, as we are pulling in this Christos energy and we are tethering ourselves to Source, we are moving out through humanity in a very natural way. Through this 6 degrees of human separation, which is a beautiful way to just think about our human connection and our interaction, right? Moving this information, moving this energy into the hearts of all of humanity. Right? It's why his message was clear and unwavering. It had to be. It was the only message that would make us holders of source light, that would make us anchors in a dark world. Right? It was the only message that could save us if we dared share it. It was our salvation, friends. Okay? It was our salvation. Christ dying on a cross was not our salvation. Please, please don't let me offend. Christ dying on a cross was the hazard of a dark, dark agenda. Christ's true salvation was the teaching that he desperately offered that survives today, that we are taking up and internalizing and sharing with the world, moving itself into the light and out of darkness. That's our salvation, friends. Every teaching we can hold on to that is true teaching, that is our salvation. That is the evolution of humanity. Do we see that? Does it make sense, friends? Please, please don't let me offend. And his message was very clear. And one of the most important messages he had only consisted of just a few words. Just a few words, this teaching, this beautiful teaching that has been lost and hidden and misconstrued, is the very core, the very foundation of everything that is our positive evolution forward. And that is, friends, that our good work, right, for humanity to survive the dark is to go within ourselves. To go within. That's the message. And he said it in 100 different ways. He said it every way he could. Every way he could that would make sense. Every way that he could share it. And he's still sharing it. And there are Christs everywhere. And you are Christ sharing this good message, right? Be what is within you already. Everything's there. All the tools, all the mechanics, it's all there. Our good work is to pull our energies into ourselves, the energies of our God self-being, to hold its vibrations with positivity, with grand aspiration and anticipation, with compassion and empathy, with feelings of peace and love, to share in the suffering or transformation of humanity using all of these tools. And we'll talk about sharing in the suffering and what that really means, because it doesn't sound like it's too fun, but it's an important aspect of what we think about when we think about the passion of Christ and how that affected our approach to our evolution. Does that make sense, friends? So the idea is we are filling each cell of our body with meditations on the integration of source energies into our physical bodies. We are pulling our spirit into our bodies. This is our goal. This is how we bring light into a physical realm. Do we understand? This is how we light up the physical world, the duality that we are experiencing. This is how we move the dark out of our experience and our evolution. We do it through the physical experience by pulling energy into this physical experience. Does that make sense? This is our goal, right? Does that make sense? So that each generation of humanity can experience the remembering Right, that we are gaining right now, the remembering of how to be spirits in a material world, right? To learn our own divinity, to remember, to reconnect, right? And there's nothing without, friends, that we need. There's nothing without. There's no work to do but to feel into the void around us that is darkness and reach for a tether to God as a portal in the heart. That's what we're doing, right? We do it by gratitude. We do it by love. We do it by conscious awareness. We do it by integrating energies around us into better intentions for our world. We do it as anchors. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about being an anchor in this world because Christ is the quintessential anchor. It was a focal point of his mission, of his good work. So let's talk about that. And let's talk about it in concrete terms. And maybe it clarifies some things for us. How does an anchor work? Have we ever thought about it? How does an anchor affix to the sea floor, right? How does that work? How does it set there on the floor in a way that becomes immovable, right? How does it do its good work there as an anchor? Have you ever thought about it? So anchors work on a few different levels. And a boat does something called reverse pull, reversing pull. And that's what it does when it drops an anchor, reversing pull. In other words, it buffers the flow of the current and reverses it to keep a smooth balance going, right, as it comes to a stop. And ships use something of a heavy nylon line, in most cases, called a snubber. And it sort of absorbs the shock of the drop of the anchor, like a buffer, right? And ships use about a 7-to-1 ratio of chain, which is 7 feet of water, right? The depth of water for every foot of chain that's put out on an anchor. So the idea is to keep the anchor horizontal and set out at a ratio of 7-to-1, right? 7 feet of water to each foot of chain. And that keeps it at a horizontal, right? As it moves to the bottom to help it remain affixed to the bottom, right? So consider this, friends. You are an anchor. You are Christs of this age. You are buffering the darkness and re-energizing it into light. You're moving it through humanity as enlightenment, right? As peace and love. We talk about this all the time. It's who you are. It's what you do. But anchors can get stuck, right? It's not uncommon. And when they are, boats will generally do this thing. They will settle above the anchor, right? And they'll find a rhythm in the water. So they'll find a rhythm in the current, in the water, and they'll take in a few inches every time the bow dips, right? And it causes an upward motion of the boat or the ship, and it causes the anchor to work itself free, right? It causes the anchor to work itself free. And so let's think about this, friends, because some of us are sitting there thinking, you know, I can't possibly be an anchor. Look at me. Look at my life. How can I be an anchor for these teachings when I'm just trying to work things out myself? Well, you are on the road to beautiful things, friends. Your awareness is so beautiful When you realize just to sit there and know where you are, and you can feel in your body the limitations, and you can move on with positivity, right? That is a beautiful beginning, friends. It's a beautiful beginning. So when we feel stuck or overwhelmed, or maybe we're depressed, or we feel unloved, or fill in the blank, blah, 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 we can remember to free ourselves. We have the capacity to free ourselves, friends, by realigning with our bodies, right? So the question might be, can we pull Source in? That's the question, right? Are we willing? Are we willing to try? Can we activate this body with energies that internalize Source consciousness that's all around us and fill ourselves with knowing that doesn't have room for any doubt? And so a question might be, what must we know to be able to accomplish this? You know, what must we know? Well, we must know that we are spirits having a human experience, and that we affect the experience with our awareness and our intentions, and that we create our reality. And we need to remember that we will get more of what we focus on. And we talk about that, don't we? We will get more of what we focus on. What does our heart wish to focus on? And a question might be, as co-creators, how do we learn to focus our efforts for our highest good? I mean, you know, how do we start? And so there's always one very dependable place to start. And that is, we can start with our breath. And we know that breath is life force energy being used by the body. And so we can ask ourselves, how are we using our breath? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? What are the habits? Are we holding our breath? Do we realize what we're doing during our day? Do we observe our breath? And we know that that's important, because breath creates heart-brain coherence, or synchronization in the body. In other words, breathing aligns our energy centers in the body, and we have a toroidal field outside the body, and we have lots of layers of energies around us. And breathing quiets the mind if we let it, if we focus on breathing in and breathing out, and it offers rest for the body. And then once we're quiet, we're ready to receive wonderful things like inspiration and insight and revelation and knowing. And of course, we have to be forgiving enough to be aware that we may sit with a mind that is racing for a little while, and we allow it to run, and we just gently pull it back into our breath and focus on the breath until it's run its course and it quiets down, and we can keep breathing and allow what comes in to visit us. And so I'm thinking, isn't it a little funny that we're talking about 6 degrees of separation of human relationships, all while boats use an average 6-to-1 ratio for anchoring in water? I just think it's kind of an interesting connection, you know. Something like, today's broadcast is brought to you by the number 6, right? Something to think about. So, what is the connection between 6 degrees of separation of human relations and the Passion of Christ? when we think about it. So the word Pascho is Greek for suffering. And would you have believed that the idea of Christ's passion would mean suffering? I mean, suffering like we suffer deep in our hearts. We sort of think Christ was immune to the human condition, but it really was his humanness that endeared him to history, right? That grounded him in his work. You know, there's really nothing like being human, and we may not remember that. But part of that passion is the capacity to feel empathy, right? Compassion is akin to the Greek word sympasko, or shared suffering, like we talked about earlier. It's what we call compassion. And I was listening to an old Alex Collier video a few days ago, and he's something of an aficionado on galactic culture, and very, very interesting to listen to. And he described a cosmos enthralled with humanity. And he described humans as capable of passions that other beings just can't create. And we are rather creative, natural offspring of an almighty creator. I think maybe it's why we've been so forcefully controlled on this planet. So if you like to sort of stretch your thinking a bit, Alex Collier's on YouTube. Tons of videos for those of you who think galactically, so to speak. And about this human passion that we have. I mean, to call Christ's conviction the passion of Christ, and to imbue it with the idea of suffering says an awful lot about the experience of the human condition, doesn't it? It means that we've had people who have come down to help, who have learned an awful lot about our experience and what we're going through. And still yet, a lot of biblical scholars like to talk about Christ choosing to sacrifice himself for humanity's sake, right? Using his death to make a point and to save humanity by dying. Really, folks, that's just, it's just bullshit. And so please forgive me for saying so. But it's very hard to conceive of the beautiful task of a mission that was so well planned and so timely delivered to end in such a crummy way. So please forgive me if I say so. But you know, in the end, Christ and his little group of companions really had little else to rely on than something that was very, very important to them and hard fought as well. They relied on something Christ was able to instill in some of them, at least, and that was the idea of sovereignty. It's being the I am without flinching. It's being the I am without a question mark. It's being the I am without negotiating, right? And I suppose what was had to be that way, just as what is has to be this way now. And Christ and his companions had to bear out their celestial sovereignty, I suppose, in public for a history that would try to undermine the truth of it, but thankfully those groups of followers decided not to forget. And the truth is, they had to choose it over everything else, sovereignty, to protect it, to model it. They had to remain constant in a chaotic world. They had to be steady in a galactic show of force. They had to choose to be fiercely loyal to their purpose. And as we know, people died in this story of a biblical crucifixion, but the sovereignty of an eternal human spirit survived. And we're so grateful. And such is the passion of Christ, to bear the demands of a fully sovereign spirit. We do all of this growth work for the exquisite remembrance of our divine sovereignty, friends. It's our true north. It's proof of our celestial blueprint. It is a homecoming for the heart. When we decide to hold our ground, right? When we stop living according to terms of a false light, and when we stand and decide to be counted, so to show the world what stuff is made of the eternal realms of heaven. That's the passion of Christ. It's not surrender to dark forces, friends. It's not being a sacrificial lamb. It's creation powers. It's liberation powers. It's healing. That's what we call Christos energies. It commands cosmic alignment. It builds sacred geometries of existence and orders the galaxies. It harnesses reality and shapes the trajectories of enlightened spirits. It orders the cosmos in the image of God. Every single one of us who awakens in Christ consciousness, we destroy the darkness where it stands. And when we do that, we're using the energy of transformation to anchor humanity to a fuller, stronger consciousness. Do we see that, friends? And remember, that transformation is energy expended through motion or action as a metamorphosis, I suppose. And what do we call this process most often? This metamorphosis of the spirit. So many of us go through our own dark night of the soul, don't we? We suffer our transformation into butterflies and back into the light and into sovereign beings again. That's the goal, at least. So friends, conform not to this world, but be transformed from cocoon to butterfly. That's our journey. And one step at a time matters by the end of a journey, friends. And let's call in our Christos energies, right? Those energies that Christ used as anointed energies that can change what's called the fabric of reality. Energies that change our unified field of consciousness when we transform ourselves. And you know, the truth is, a long time ago, I really didn't conceive of a show like this, focusing on the topics that we've talked about today. They are something of a memory and something of a comfort in some ways, and something of an organic exercise in listening and following through on what I hear. But you know what, friends? Let's make a play date for next Sunday and get ourselves back to the playground. What do you say? But for now, friends, it's time for me to go home. And I hope something that we've shared will be of benefit this week if you're willing to try it out and take a chance on yourself and on the beautiful you that anchors an entire world into the grace of God. So thank you so much, BBS Radio. We love you so much. And until next time, everyone.
Time to head home, friends. Thanks for being a part of today's journey. We'll see you back on the playground next Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Time on bbsradio.com. Make sure to subscribe if you enjoyed the show. Find us on Telegram and X to share your insights on topics today. Your input heals the child in us all.